Hello and welcome to the AE podcast, a show that brings together high school students to share their interests and discuss literally anything and everything. We're desperate for content. This is June 2024. The AE podcast has a new series of episodes, Cast a Poem, where grade 8 students discuss contemporary black poetry that revives, resists, and fight back. But also poetry that marvels, uplifts, and rejoices. I'm your host, Ethan. We're talking about I Will Never Leave Thee or Forsake Thee by Ian Williams, with our special guests,
Louis Frank,
who will assist us today in deciphering the mood of being alone and social difficulty described in the poem.
Ian Williams, born in Trinidad, is a Canadian raised poet who loves experimenting with geometry, math, and grammar in poems to comically portray the social and political problems of our world. So, here's the poem.
It's two circles, so I'll keep repeating it. Whether I feel alone or not, I am alone. Whether I feel alone or not, I am alone. Whether I feel alone, whether I am alone or not, I feel alone. Whether I am alone or not, I feel alone. Whether I am alone, whether I feel alone or not, I am alone. Whether I feel alone or not, and it goes on.
Before we start, we remind you that this is a poem which is extremely open to interpretation, and our opinions below are only our personal ideas. So what do we think?
Well, firstly, let's look at the title. I Will Never Leave Thee or Forsake Thee. We can see it's really old English, so where's it from? So this is actually a promise by God in the Bible that is repeated multiple times. So the word in Hebrew that is used for leave is rapha, which means abandonment, and the word used for forsake is azab, which means neglect. So basically, it says that God will never abandon or neglect a person.
So this quote is used intentionally to say that God will never leave a person? That one might feel lonely, but God is always with them? Or is this quote like used as a part of the poem?
Well, if it is a part of a poem, what if it's related to the speaker?
What if the poem is an aggressive process? What if the poem is a depiction of the five stages of grief?
And that's anger, denial, bargaining, depression, and acceptance?
Yes. 67% of people have experienced social isolation and loneliness following the loss of a loved one during the COVID-19 pandemic. And that is one of the loneliness which can definitely follow loss. According to that logic, the title would be the speaker's loved one who either left them or passed away. The right circle, I feel alone whether I am alone or not, would be depression. And the left circle, I am alone whether I feel alone or not, would be acceptance.
Then what about the other steps?
Well, there's five stages and only three lines including the title. Since a circle can be repeated, what if the same line is repeated in a few different tones? Here's what I think. So firstly, we have the speaker's loved one, who vowed not to leave or forsake the speaker. Then they pass away or leave. And the speaker is alone in disbelief. For example, I am alone. And that could be denial. And secondly, after the news sink in for a while, the speaker would be angry, perhaps at their loved one for leaving them. And it would be, I am alone in an angry tone. For example, I am alone. And the next stage we have is bargaining. See, when one is in pain, it's really hard to accept that there is nothing to do that can change the truth that caused the pain in the first place. And bargaining is the stage of grief where a person starts to make deals with themselves or perhaps with a religious figure. So through the quote, "I will never leave thee or forsake thee," the speaker is trying to convince themselves that even though they are alone, God will always be with them. After all of that, the depression kicks in. The speaker feels alone until they realize that they are alone. They will be alone, whether they feel alone or not, and that's acceptance.
Well, a very good job thoroughly describing the five stages of grief in one title and two lines. I mean, that's honestly pretty impressive. But still, since there are two circles, why should we assume that there's only one speaker?
That's valid. The two circles could be two speakers, and based on the link of "I feel alone" in the center, they might be connected.
What could be their relationship then?
Judging by the title, this could be very possibly be a married couple, which also makes a vow to never abandon each other. Guy Winch said in Psychology Today, "Marriage offers no protection from loneliness. Around 20% of the general population suffers from chronic loneliness. And in one recent study of older adults, 62.5% of people who reported being lonely were married and living with their partner."
If that's the case, one of the two is not always alone, but always lonely. And the other one isn't lonely, but often alone. What's most likely the case here?
Well, usually in the married couple, one would be working and one would stay home to take care of children, or maybe just stay home. So the husband, let's assume it's the husband for convenience, could have a full-time job, and the wife might be a housewife who stays at home. See, the husband is in a workplace all the time. Why would they feel lonely? Well, 69% of employees report that they're unsatisfied with their social connections at work, and 43% of people do not feel a sense of connection with their colleagues. It's quite reasonable that the husband might feel lonely in his work environment.
If the husband spends most of his time at work, how come the wife doesn't always feel lonely?
I can't answer that. Summarizing from a study by Professors Martin Pincourt and Sylvia Sorensen, one might have very little social participation or a relatively small social network, but be satisfied with the quality and frequency of those interactions, and therefore not experiencing much loneliness. Others may have much larger social networks and more engagement in social activities, but lack meaningful connections with these people and activities, increasing their likelihood for loneliness.
Speaking of that, an American writer, Henry David Thoreau, a transcendentalist who lived in isolation for most of his life, also wrote in his book Walden that, quote, "He finds it wholesome to be alone the greater part of the time. To be in company, even the best, is soon wearisome and dissipating. He loves to be alone. He never found the companion that was so companionable as solitude."
Is the wife really that isolated?
Well, even though the wife might not be alone to such extreme, her limited social time with maybe her friends and her husband after he comes home from work could be far less stressful and depressing and way more enjoyable compared to the husband's forced participation in the workplace.
I mean, that's a valid theory, but I think we should look more at the shape of the poem next. There must be a reason the poem made it that way. Other than the clash of the phrase, I feel lonely, what else can we notice?
Circles already contain a sense of an internal loop, and it can form a chain if we expand the poem.
That's a nice observation. Since the circles are intersecting, if we make the chain longer, it will become a boundary of some sort.
But what even is this trap of loneliness, and what does it have to do with the title?
That is where we go back to the start. Remember the origin of the title? It still is a promise from God. And what does God look over?
The world?
Oh, humans. Human interaction, that's society.
Exactly. If we expand this poem, it becomes an infinite chain of being alone and feeling alone.
How is that a metaphor for society, though?
See, here's where the confusing whether I am or not part comes in. Society is just a huge game where you have to pretend to be someone else just to fit in and get into profitable connections.
And either that, or we become alone. We isolate ourselves from society, and therefore escape the chains of loneliness, but we also can't make money.
Well, to what extent is this forced loneliness, and who is the speaker in this case?
As we already know, the poet Ian Williams is a fairly dark-skinned Canadian. Even though he himself might not be the case, minority groups are also quite exposed to loneliness. In fact, 75% of Hispanic adults and 68% of Black or African American adults have been classified as experiencing loneliness, at least 10 points higher than that of the general adult population.
Indeed. An English public health study also said, exposure to racism like micro insults and a fear of attack can encourage social isolation and contribute to ill mental health, especially for new immigrants. Language barriers, unconfirmed legal identity, and not knowing the legal processes, and also very few people of the same ethnicity in their local area, can stop the development of supportive social relationships. So Williams could be hinting that society is forcing minority groups, like African Americans, to isolate themselves and form a new community just to be their true selves. This might be the reason for that many street gangs.
Interesting theory. I'd love to hear more, but it seems like our time is running out. Our podcast is very honored to have invited you to.
It's an honor to be here too.
And it's certainly a pleasure to bring up topics such as loneliness in society.
Anyways, that's a wrap for our episode today. Remember to tune in on the next one if you want to check out more poem analysis like this one. Thanks for listening to the AE Podcast and have a good day.